conhaque com cerveja. Eu tive a chance de uma vida normal. Com os amigos penetrei no caminho do mal. Desespero na cara, fila cheia. O sangue envenenado corria em minha veia. Quanto mais eu tinha, mais eu queria. Minha mulher não merecia. Aliás, ninguém merece um cara como eu, que do mundo se esquece, entristece. Quem quer ver seu bem? Quando eu tava transformado, eu não pensava em ninguém. Assim seguia, insistia a semana inteira. Minha moral foi reduzida a poeira. Geladeira, bicicleta, televisão, tudo pro nariz acompanhado de uma...
Welcome to Indie Newswire, a weekly review of breaking news published on independent media center newswires from all over the world.
And indeed, this is the Indie Newswire. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 FM. Harry Bubbins is on the line with us, as we discussed, a friend of Brad Will, working on the campaign to raise consciousness and stop the Merida Initiative, the military aid package to Mexico, supposedly in the name of the drug war, arming and supplying and funding the Mexican military and police. Harry, are you with us?
Yes, thank you.
Right on. Thank you very much for your time and for your work over the past. When did this campaign begin? When did the Merida Initiative start to come out on paper?
Well, it was a few months after that Bush met with Calderon in the city of Merida in Mexico, and to give a cover of a bilateral agreement, when in fact, like Plan Colombia, it's been imposed on the Mexican government. And that was sometime in the middle of last year, and then it was formally announced near October, and even before then we had been geared up to resist.
My memory is that of that meeting in Merida is that at that point it was still, I mean, it's still highly contested, but at that point it was extremely tenuous, like Calderon's hold on power. He was barely even accepted as the president internationally and in Mexico itself.
Well, that's a good point. As Laura Carlson of the International Policy Center, Center Policy, indicated, this is the same fake war on drugs that was launched during Nixon's time when his hold on power was tenuous. And to galvanize the population, he wanted to create yet another external enemy to try to solidify his grip, not only psychically with these fake enemies, but also militarily, by providing more funding resources to the security personnel that can align themselves with him. And that's exactly the model that Calderon is trying to implement, with more goodies for his police and military apparatus to stand in line with him against the widespread disappointment in what they consider his fraudulent election.
So we have one illegitimate leader being President Bush and one illegitimate leader being Felipe Calderon, and they're discussing this kind of mutual aid package of sorts, to use perhaps the wrong phrase. But what exactly is it that they are each getting out of this? What are they? You mentioned that Calderon would be somewhat more supported or propped up or have some funds, some goodies to give out to the military. What are they going for? What's their intention with this?
Well, in general, it's a $1.5 billion proposal, as your listeners heard. And the majority of that, over 70% of that, are directly lethal aid, from helicopters and aircraft to guns. And what that does on the American side is that goes to Bell Helicopters and the other military-industrial complex corporations. It's basically a transfer of our tax money to those companies to make these violent equipment. On the Mexican side, they get this lethal aid, which historically and right now, in fact, in Oaxaca, are used against the population. So, as in Plan Colombia, what would happen is it would be used against the social movements to continue the human rights violations, the disappearances, the illegal detentions, and the murders of union and trade activists, environmental and indigenous activists, and the general population. And that would allow them to continue to try to privatize public resources, which are also strongly contested across the spectrum of Mexican politics.
So you mentioned specifically Oaxaca and its neighbor Chiapas as well have already been kind of, I don't want to at all minimize what's going on there, but they've been the front where it's relatively well known what's happening there. Hopefully, I mean, hopefully there's enough consciousness raising and people have understood what's happening there to be a low intensity war, or in some cases quite high intensity against political dissidents and indigenous communities and stuff. In the rest of the country, in the rest of Mexico, the front or the lines have changed a bit with Calderon coming into power, and this anti-drug offensive. What's happened in the north and in the border and in the rest of Mexico that would be further intensified by the Mérida initiative?
Well, again, that's another good point. It's a very complex issue, and it's kind of like the balloon effect, which is utilized to argue against interdiction and military suppression of the drug trade. The balloon effect is just, if you squeeze it here, it's going to go somewhere else. Similarly, when you question the Bush-Calderon proposal on, say, the drug war merits, then all of a sudden they say, oh, it's counterterrorism, or they'll say, oh, it's going to reduce violence on the border, as you just brought forward. It doesn't reduce violence on the border. The violence on the border has to do a lot from the guns coming from America, from the border states to Mexico. And this is well known, well publicized. The Mexican Congress, numerous think tanks have studied the matter, from the Drug Policy Alliance to others. It's the violence is fueled by guns from America, which simply means that rather than throwing money at the military and police in Mexico, we merely need to tighten up our own laws. The other thing, there's so much corruption within the Mexican police and military that there's the well-known armed group, the Zetas, were trained by American personnel in Mexico to be the special forces of the Mexican police. They turned and became the most violent criminals along the border. And again, that's well-known too, and a lot of these people came through the School of Americas, which we shut down as well. So it's all very intricate and complex, but the point being, the Mérida Initiative, throwing money to the military and security of Mexico, is a ridiculous approach to the drug war or the border violence. The border violence can be controlled by tighter gun laws in America, as well as resources to reduce drug demand.
So you mentioned the U.S. tightening up its laws, and we will talk a bit more, I'm sure, about Mexican law and impunity, and you mentioned the corruption of the military. At one conference or another, a military general in the Mexican military actually spoke about the Mexican military being historically very separate and apart from the politics and the government. And what kind of accountability or what kind of in terms of tightening up laws exists in Mexico to make sure that the military is somehow held accountable or the police forces are somehow held accountable for what they do with this money or with this aid or in general what they've done in the past?
Well, again, those are good questions. We're going to hope to stop this military aid to Mexico. But your point being, there has historically been a strong divide, as there is supposed to be in America, but as we see blurring across country lines as capitalism undergoes more and more of a crisis, the Mexican military is not supposed to be involved in these kind of domestic crime fighting, not only in America, but in Mexico, too. They're not trained for that. They're trained to fight an external enemy and shoot to kill. The massacre in 68 in Mexico City, gave people fair warning of how the military could act. There's people in Mexico who believe the military should not be involved in daily crime-fighting efforts, and the Mérida Initiative would only serve to reinforce the blurring of the police and military line. Nevertheless, the military still does, apparently, from our experts down there, have more respect than the local police. But that's for the Mexican people to determine how they're going to handle their domestic affairs in that matter, which is yet another reason why we should not be forcing the Mérida Initiative on them.
Somewhat specific to what you just said and just mentioned in terms of the relationship between local police and federal forces or the army, Can you talk a little bit about the PFP, the specific agency, and some of the overlapping jurisdictions? And for some folks, I mean, the U.S. military, we understand perhaps that there's an Air Force, there's the Marines, the different agencies, or the different, you know, groupings. Can you talk a little bit about how the Mexican military is formatted?
To be honest with you, I could not.
Okay. There have been agencies in the past that, you know, you mentioned the 68 massacre, that have undergone really close scrutiny or have, you know, been caught in these massacres or as political police or this incident or that incident. And we'll of course discuss some of the specifics of Brad Will's case, but what kind of problems are we seeing? What are we worried about with more money and more funding for the Mexican military?
Well, that it's going to be utilized against regular people. There's no need to give them more. They're using helicopters right now in Oaxaca, basically to carry out kidnapping. It's still going on, that low-level intensity war. They also want to obliterate the Zapatista movement in Chiapas and elsewhere. They also had massacres in Atenco. It's a military package. It's not to alleviate the drug war. It's not to address human rights concerns. Over 70% of $1.5 billion would go to lethal aid. So what we're concerned is this is just going to be used against the people. And it's also in the context, which I'm glad we're going to talk a bit about the Brad Will case, but it's also in the context of NAFTA have been passed and the proposed SPP, the Security and Prosperity Partnership, that I'm sure your listeners are aware of too, it's basically NAFTA on steroids. So what governments are trying to do is arm themselves against the growing social movements to resist the privatization of all of our natural resources.
You mentioned NAFTA and the SPP. Could you talk a little bit about that just for some folks who might not be familiar with the Security and Prosperity Initiative?
Sure. Well, it's basically to expand free trade, privatization, the reduction of labor, human, and environmental protections from Canada and Mexico and the United States. It's not only worse than NAFTA. At least NAFTA went through some kind of congressional process, which we can intervene on still, and thanks to activism, it has even bubbled up into the presidential election, so much so that Obama and Clinton even had to indicate their concern about it, even if it was fictitious on one of their parts. With the case of SPP, it's basically a handshake between the leaders of these three countries. There's no congressional involvement. There's no public hearing. They're just trying to seal their own private deal. And there's been a lot of organizing across in Canada, America, and Mexico. And in fact, there's going to be a big conference at the end of April in New Orleans regarding this that lot your listeners should be aware of if they can't make it, to stay in touch with those organizing efforts. So the Merida Initiative is a smaller part of all of these things going on, and we're aware of that, but we're targeting it in addition to SPP and NAFTA and other human rights concerns because it's before Congress right now, and we have the opportunity to stop it and develop momentum and morale in the movement to tackle these larger tasks.
So you mentioned it's being debated now. I'm looking at elenemigocomun.net, and it says that now's the time for action. The $1.4 billion military package to Mexico will soon be debated in Congress. What is Friends of Brad Will and what are folks doing to lobby Congress or to influence these hearings?
Well, right away, Bush thought he was going to attach it not as a separate bill or as a separate independent budget item, but throw it into the Iraq War Appropriations Package, which unfortunately has continued to be passed. In any case, he saw that as an easier way to slip it through. Thanks to our and other organizations like Global Exchange and Witness for Peace and U.S. Steelworkers and others, growing amount of organizations nationwide, it had to be peeled from the general supplementary budget package and considered on its own. Pressure to Congress members led to a few hearings specifically on it, chaired by Elliot Engels of the Subcommittee of Western Hemispheric Affairs, and other Congress members did indicate initially some, although tepid, at least there was some concern about human rights, and that led to even more hearings. Unfortunately, during the, and at least having these hearings means there's more airing, more time for questions, more time for organizing nationwide, more time for informing people like your show does, which is very important, so that we can have our voices heard. Unfortunately, at these hearings, Mr. Engel has, you know, just invited the supporters. He's invited the government agencies to speak about how great this is for them, who will be getting money for their budget. So it's kind of very unfortunate that he hasn't had yet independent human rights and fair trade experts and people from the impacted areas in Mexico to speak on this. We have met, shook hands, wrote letters, as well as some people have been arrested and dragged out of these hearings in Congress. We hope there will be more, because more and more senators and Congress members are becoming aware of the importance of this and how serious it would be on our foreign policy for decades to come. Just like Plan Colombia was proposed as a year or two, Merida Initiative is proposed as a three-year thing, but we see with Plan Colombia, billions and billions of dollars over 10 years, it's still going on. Drug use has only increased, cocoa production has only increased, and human rights violations have only increased. So with that as a backdrop and all the strong activism to stop Plan Colombia, we think that the growing of members, number of people in Congress are going to hopefully not fund the Merida Initiative at all, or at least whittle down all the lethal aid components to it.
Specific to the actual proposal on the table, you mentioned the hearings going on. In terms of the details leading up to these hearings, how has the process been? I mean, there's some leaked documents online, but has this been a transparent process in any way?
No, not at all. Bush dropped it on everyone, including Mr. Calderon, I'm sure. There doesn't exist, as it didn't initially with Plan Colombia, a Spanish version of this, which just goes to show you it was not a bilateral approach and why many people in Mexican government are outraged as well. Here, neither Congress was included in discussions at all. So for that reason alone, even supposed right-wingers that might be aligned with Bush's policies were greatly affronted by the lack of communication with Congress. That finally led to the initial hearings, and where we're at now, we're hearing within 3 or 4 weeks, it's either going to be put in the supplemental package of the continuing the war in Iraq, which hopefully would be stopped, or as a standalone item as part of the overall budget. It's very elucidating to learn about all of this, but thankfully in America we still can impact the process, and they still do respond to voters' concerns to some degree, and we need to keep trying to have our voices heard and contact our local members of Congress and let them know about this, because they usually don't hear from people, and it's easy to say, oh, they don't care, they're not going to do anything, they're all corrupt. But we have a duty in America to use our privilege to help. As you mentioned, there has been a low-level war going on in Mexico. You might even think it's a high level if you're one of the people being detained or shot at or killed or tortured as it's happening. And that's the way we can express our solidarity, not only at rallies and hearings, but you know, holding our nose and going to meet these people and telling them how we feel, and to not use our tax money in this way.
How have members of Congress in these hearings, you mentioned that some of the hearings have been interrupted, or that there's been an attempt to alter the conversation, to disrupt the spectacle, as the Panthers said, but how have members on these boards and in these hearings, how have folks responded to the interruptions or the attempt to just get the word out and change the dialogue about human rights abuses and specific cases, including Brad Will and the low-intensity warfares in Oaxaca and Chiapas, et cetera?
Well, it's a very interesting thing to be part of, and a lot of them are very receptive. They're still human. You know, no matter how degraded they might be by the process in Washington, D.C., and the payoffs and buyouts and nice dinners by lobbyists, they still are human. There are people who won't listen to a thing and don't want to hear a thing that regular people have to say whatsoever, and they want to fuel the war machine endlessly. There are people like that, yet there are also people who are concerned about human rights violations that don't want to see America funding torture in Guantanamo Bay or in Mexico or even here in the States. So there's been some response. We have had Congressmember Meeks actually ask a question about Bradwell at one point because we briefed him beforehand. We've been encouraging people, constituents locally across the country, to meet with your local reps or your staff from Oregon to California to New York to Texas to Arizona, everywhere. We have also been organizing people to meet in D.C. with these people, with these staffs. Some of them are young, idealistic people who want to be part of the process to help, and we can impact them by sharing the appropriate information. We have been sharing pictures of, you know, what was documented in Oaxaca and elsewhere. It's in color picture. Here it is. Here are the faces of the people that have been hurt, including Bradwell. And here are the faces of the people who have done it, who are local police, amongst others. And that has had an impact on the debate. It has led to inquiries not only about Brad, but about human rights in Oaxaca in general, and also about why drug treatment monies have been cut in the budget, yet this kind of militaristic approach is being proposed. And sometimes the Congress members simply don't know. They want to know or simply need the information so that they can vote the appropriate way or hopefully negotiate beforhand so that this money isn't even in the budget.
So listeners,
so it's been a wide variety of responses.
For sure. Listeners to this station and this show have heard a lot of information about Brad starting, you know, back in October 06, immediately after his death, within hours and days. If you could talk a little bit about the campaign since then and what friends and family and his parents specifically and the organization Friends of Bradwell have done to keep his case and his name in the spotlight. It created a huge spectacle. There was an opportunity, there was a moment where, you know, his case, his murder was a global story, globally circulated. What has been done since then in the last year and a half, 2 years to keep this story coming out?
Right. Well, that's a very good question. And it did have a worldwide import because of Brad's global connections and being involved in documenting a variety of efforts across the world. And because of the dedication and care of his parents to not allow this to be swept under the rug, and also because everyone concerned, his family included, realized that the issue transcends Brad. It transcends one white American being killed, but his situation can help us shine a spotlight on what's still happening to thousands of people. So there's, you know, was it the meetings, letters, there's been memorials, there's been movies, a really good movie called One Night at the Barricades. I forget the filmmaker's name, but I recommend that to your listeners as well. And there's been lobbying efforts in Congress. Why we focus on the Merida Initiative, it was announced 1 year after the worst of the violence in Oaxaca, which included the murder of Brad and others. 1 year after, as if to reward these people with immunity. In fact, $60 million of the Merida Initiative, if you look at the documents, would go directly to the Attorney General's office who led the cover-up of Brad's murder. What's gone on this year, the family has been down to Mexico more than once. Their website is bradwell.org. Our efforts are organized under friendsofbradwell.org, and the family's website for Brad is bradwill.org. They've been down there. They have been working with Amnesty International, the Committee to Protect Journalists, Reporters Without Borders, other wonderful organizations. They had met numerous times with the American ambassador, the State Department, Mexican government, and most recently, after, you know, the federal, for your listeners may be aware, the state and the federal government of Mexico concluded their research and findings and investigation and still maintained that he was shot at close range, which would lead people to believe that it was the representatives of the APO and the other aspects of the social movement in Mexico. Even the family called that patently ridiculous. And there, the evidence shows that he was not shot at close range or by the gun that the government maintained. The family apparently is being given access right now or soon or has been recently access to the official reports and documents and coroner reports and all of that. And they are to share that with their own independent experts under the auspices of or in partnership with some of those human rights and freedom of reporting organizations I mentioned before, and are going to follow up on the official government report with their own findings and conclusions, and I believe appeal again to the government to look into the matter, given the fact that there was videotape of local government and police people with guns shooting that very moment at Brad and others. And if not, take it to an international tribunal, the Organization of American States, or some other international court to continue pressing his case.
I hadn't heard that. I can't believe they're still trying this same story of blaming the folks that were around him from the APO. Are they giving any evidence at all? Because as you mentioned, there's photos of the men in red shirts shooting. There's his video where he was clearly in their line of fire. There's witness accounts. What kind of evidence are they offering? I mean, the PJJE and the folks, you know, in the government, the Procurator General, basically is there any evidence at all given for this assertion, or is this just what they're saying?
I'm sure they have something to back it up, but I don't believe there's any real evidence. No one does. The family didn't. And at the memorial, the one-year memorial, the parents and some of the family members came to New York, where there's a big gathering of Brad's friends and colleagues together one year after, and they gave a bit of a report. And not only were the ballistics contradictory to some of the obvious evidence, the bullets didn't match certain guns, or I don't know the exact details about the guns being a 45 or a 9mm or something like that, but they clearly did not match. But the family was mostly struck by the eyewitness account. People had at great risk of life and limb come forth to share what happened that day, and it's because of the, you know, that courage that's also helped the family and is also fueling us here in America to act and not allow our government to reward that terrible violence that continued and is still continuing and be funded with our tax money.
So what now? What can be done by listeners, by folks to support the ongoing investigation in this case, as well as the campaign to stop the Merida initiative?
Yeah, it's a threefold thing. Justice for Brad Will, stop the Merida Initiative Plan Mexico, and stop the SPP, Security Prosperity Partnership. We need people, and this is you touched upon, and I'll be very candid in the movement with our fellow activists and progressives. We have been disenfranchised from the electoral arena consciously as part of an effort to keep us away from advocating in that avenue. A lot of people say, oh, don't bother with politics, don't bother with politicians, I don't want to do that, et cetera, et cetera. But that is such a defeatist approach that leaves us with nothing. Why do we go to rallies? Why do we go to demonstrations? Not only to show our own movement together and get strength thereby, but to influence somebody. In this case, those somebodies happen to be Congress members. They happen to really make decisions about where dollars and cents are spent, whether they are spent on helicopters to go fly over Oaxaca with our United States taxpayer money, or if they're going to build schools here in America or whatever other good thing. So I want to implore people to, if they never have, go and call your Congress member and go meet with them. Set up an appointment. Say, I want to meet with my Congress member. I want to meet with Nancy Pelosi. If you can't, meet with a staff member. We have on our website, friendsofbradwill.org, documents you can download. You can email us for support in that effort if you don't feel comfortable doing that. Do it even as a lark. Do it even because you sincerely think it's going to make a difference. It will. The more people they hear from, the more possibility we have to excise this from the budget and spare the people of Mexico from $1.5 billion of military hardware and surveillance, which would be used against activists just like us. So that's what we'd like people to do. Meet and contact your local Congress member. Tell them we want justice for Brad Will. All this money going to the Mexican military, they say some of it is going to help stop corruption and all that. You can show you want to stop corruption. You can show the end of impunity by arresting the people and prosecuting the people involved who killed Brad and others. Four people were arrested in the murder of Brad, police officers and the local mayor, and then they were let go. They were arrested for a reason, and they were let go for a reason. We want the people held accountable and prosecuted. That's a step that we can encourage Congress to push the Mexican government to do right now, even as they consider the Morita Initiative, to show that they're trying to address human rights concerns. We don't want the Morita Initiative to pass, otherwise known as Plan Mexico. There's a long history of what happened with Plan Colombia. It's a total failure, a total waste of money. We don't need to do that now. But we can also say the argument, we should not be setting this a path for our foreign policy when Bush is almost out. Let's wait till Bush is gone and then consider our approach to the drug war in Mexico. That's another tact we've been using. You ask how Congress members react. Some of them care very much. They know we need to fight the militaristic approach in foreign policy. Others need to be more convinced. For those, we say, let's just wait till Bush is gone. Then we can reevaluate this whole thing. Then finally, looking at the SPP, there's going to be a big conference in New Orleans at the end of April regarding organizing the Security Prosperity Partnership. I encourage your listeners to take note of that and get more involved in those efforts as well. But the main thing is contact Congress. We have documents on friendsofbradwill.org in your local offices or in D.C., and help us stop this.
I was going to ask specifically about that conference and that event in New Orleans. Is there anywhere we can get more information about that, dates and start organizing for that?
Let me look right now. I believe it is April 25th and 26th. April 21st and 22nd, Earth Day, actually. It's right. April 21st and 22nd. As far as the website, I don't know, but if you look at SPP Organizing or on any of the indie media websites, I'm sure it would be on there.
Okay, that's what I'm looking at, and I'll do some research and bring readers and listeners more information toward the end of the show here. All I'm finding is a bunch of YouTube links that are mostly North American Union stuff, so I'll look around and see what kind of information I can get for folks. But any final thoughts on, in general, what folks in the U.S. can do to support and to raise consciousness, to act in solidarity with folks who are struggling in Mexico?
Tell our own Congress in America not to send money to go persecute people. That's number one. Number two, as people consider going, groups like Witness for Peace, who have been strong partners in D.C. and advocating for Brad, as well as people of Oaxaca, have on their website a strong statement against Plan Mexico. They lead human rights delegations to Oaxaca. They have an office in Oaxaca. They also lead delegations to Colombia, so people can get a firsthand account of what's going on. You mentioned other websites, too, and films that you should look at. And be creative in your own thoughts. It's not just the Zapatista movement. It's not just Oaxaca. It's all across Mexico and America and Canada. We have a unique opportunity to push back on these violent free market policies and have a more equitable society.
Harry Bubbins is a friend of Brad Will. I believe you're the communications director.
Yes.
And a leader in the campaign to stop the Merida Initiative. Thank you very much for your time and for your hard work out there in the Capitol. Not everyone not everyone listening is excited about meeting with their congressman in hearings. We very much appreciate that someone is in there representing our voice and the voices of people of Mexico. And it's hard work, and I appreciate very much what you said about just holding your nose and doing it, holding your nose and meeting with these people. So that our voices get out there. Thank you very much for your work and your time.
Thanks a lot. I look forward to talking again.
Right on. Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1. Again, that was Harry Bubbins. You can check out friendsofbradwill.org and bradwill.org as well to get him more information about the family. Those documents he mentioned are fascinating. They're at elenemigocomun.net and at Friends of Bradwill. There's, like you said, they're not even available in Spanish. They're just like the U.S. government's acronymed military budget speak that have been leaked, apparently. So I would encourage folks to check those out. It's essentially a huge 78-page package for what this money is going to go for. So have a look at that and get more information about what's going on in here in the U.S., in the capital, and in our closest neighbor to the south. I'll get you some more information about the New Orleans conference coming up soon. But stay tuned. Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 FM. This is the Indie Newswire program.